Good afternoon, everybody out there listening. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby. Yes, Reverend, that's right. You know, for the Universal Life Church, Reverend Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, The Church of the Soul's Evolution. Were you dancing to my song? Okay, that's a requirement from now on. When you hear my song, please stand up and dance to it. It's the call of the soul, not the call of the wild, but the call of the soul. Don't you ever get that sometimes? Don't you know that Earth is like a school in the University of the Universe? It's a very special kind of learning environment. And what matters is our soul's evolution. I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing else that matters more than your soul's evolution. When you come here to Earth, you are made to forget your past lives and universal knowledge, because this is a very special learning environment where we have to learn to love each other. And if we knew that we were going to die in a few days, or if we knew the way our paths were going to be laid out in front of us, our plans exactly to the T, we just wouldn't function normally. You know what I'm saying? So we are made to forget. We go through that veil, the river of oblivion, when our soul's past life, memory of our soul's past lives are erased, and we are forgetting our universal knowledge, all the answers to every question that we could possibly have are no longer there, and we have to learn on our own. And that's what I have done. I'm almost 7 years old. My mother got me started back in 1992. Just before my mother passed away. She passed away in 99. She was a mystic. Have you ever heard of the Rosicrucians? They're an ancient mystical order that go back thousands of years in the land of Egypt around then, when they had a very advanced civilization, not as advanced technologically as ours, but spiritually they were very advanced. You've heard the word mystic, right? And Jesus was a mystic. And they were into things like dreams and the human aura and astral projection. You know about astral projection, right? Anyway, and other subjects too. She had 22 degrees. I tried it for a while. I got to 4 degrees. There's a lot of ritual involved with that, and using candles and looking into the fire and making the candle, the fire move, you know, just by concentrating and that kind of stuff, and lifting up off the ground and traveling around, levitation, some pretty heavy stuff, you know. Anyway, I was doing a couple of songs before my show, because it really tunes me up. I get my groove on when I sing my songs to my music. And I know over 100 songs, and now I might not practice all of them recently, but I try to practice each one. There was one song called Love is Alive by Gary Wright back in the 70s. Is your love alive? Well, our love is alive, my friends out there. We are alive. Another song I know is Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Well, you can tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time for talk. Women, loud music, loud and women, warm. I've been kicked around since I was born. Now, believe it or not, when you hear the music, it's easier to remember the words than doing it a cappella. Isn't that something? It seems like your memory just goes along with the music, and you can remember words. It's amazing sometimes. And there was another song, I Love the Night, by Blue Oyster Cult. Now, Blue Oyster Cult, my friends, is a band, a rock and roll band that's been in existence since the early 70s. And they really, really should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm telling you. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a little bit of a sham. You know, it's all about money. And they've been inducting, like, Dolly Parton, country music, and also rap artists, you know. But it's about money. For them, it doesn't really mean adhering to rock and roll only. It means getting some people in there so that they can make money. That's my take on it. Anyway, so this one song, I Love the Night by Blue Oyster Cult, it's a really cool song. And tell me what you think. I'm going to take a drink here. goes like this. Last night a kiss told me it was over. I walked out late into the dark. Misty gloom seemed to soak up my sorrow. The further I went on, I felt the spreading calm. Then suddenly my eyes were bathed in light. And the lovely lady in white was by my side. She said, like me, I see you're walking alone. Won't you please stay? I couldn't look away. Anyway, the lady in white, my mother always told me when I was very young, like about 3 years old, I woke her up one night and I was screaming, Mom, Mom. And I remember I had some kind of dreams like that, nightmares, you know. Did you ever have those when you were young? Anyway, she came running in. I said, Mom, there was a woman in white, a lady in white that was over in the corner of the room. And she said, my eyes were as wide as saucers. And she knew I didn't make that up, you know. 3 years old, I think I was. And a three-year-old wouldn't make that stuff up. Why can't you believe, my friends, believe that they exist, that angels do exist, except they're in another dimension because we're living in the dimension of the five senses, you know. Touch your eyes. You see your eyes, your eyeballs. They see. Your ears. Put your fingers in your ears. They hear. Touch your tongue. You can feel. And what are the other ones, the other two senses? Smelling. When you smell. They say that when we get to the spirit realm, that you can smell like sound. They're intermingled. Isn't that amazing? The spirit has its unique own characteristics. But more about that later. I wanted to talk about a few things on the show today. And you know me, being an accomplished Toastmaster, I went to a club this morning from 9:30 to about 10:45. And we talk about Toastmaster things. You know, the subjects aren't really esoteric or that interesting. Because why? Because the meetings themselves and the chance to talk aren't really long enough. By the time you warm up, you know, a 2 to 3 minute speech or a 1 to 2 minute speech or 5 to 7 minute speech even is really not enough to enjoy talking about something. Because like I said, by the time you warm up, it's time to stop. You know, just when you start looking around and making eye contact with the people, there was about 10 people there this morning, a couple of people online, then you got to stop. But still, it's better than nothing, the way I figure it. And I evaluated the speech, 2 to 3 minutes. I would love to go on. I gave a speech last Tuesday at my other club, Lead to Succeed, a club for women. It was a 10 to 15 minute speech, and I'm the only man in there right now. They've had men before, but currently I'm the only man, and they allow it because my wife, Jackie, she's a member. And so, but even before I joined, they had some male members, but predominantly it's a club just for females, for women. And I like to change subjects because, I mean, come on, 55 minutes talking on BBS Radio, my show, you got to be able to change subjects. And unless you plan, you know, it's okay, write things down, then it might seem kind of unorganized, but that's not the way I like to roll, my friends. I like to change the subject because I like to go impromptu. I know basically in my mind what I want to talk about, but I like to change things around, and I try to be as organized as I can. And I'll say occasionally, too, changing the subject. And that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to change the subject to the debate on Thursday night between Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden. Did you all see that debate? I think it's still on our minds, you know, because what we saw, both of them, you know, it was pretty significant in our lifetimes for that, you know, to watch that, you know, something that's very memorable. Now, I'm sorry that it had to turn out that way for Mr. Biden, because even though I'm probably going to vote for Mr. Trump, and I love Mr. Trump, because I've dreamt of him four times. I've had four different dreams of Mr. Trump. What do you think of that? He's like an older brother to me, and in my dreams. Plus, I think he's funny. I think he's a cool guy. And when people get harsh, people that call him suckers and losers like Mr. Biden did, I don't think he meant to say that, he lost his temper, but he was 81 years old. And I know what happened. Let me tell you what I think happened. I'm going to take a drink. Mr. Biden has been going through cognitive decline. Now, I'm not maybe the most intelligent person on the subject. I'm not an expert, but I can see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears. I know the way he was before, and I know the way he is now and going into the future. 81 years old, my parents both were 81 when they died. So he's at that age when he definitely has very less years in front of him than he does behind him, if you know what I mean. Mr. Biden did pretty good on the State of the Union. This brings up an important point here, to be able to read something out loud is beneficial for the mind. Reading a teleprompter, reading from a book, I practice it myself all the time in my work, because sometimes I'm required to brief at meetings when there are high-level leadership, like three-star generals, a three-star equivalent civilian, a one-star general, two-star general, other very high-ranking Department of the Army civilians, and you have to know your stuff. And reading out loud is one way, because that's what you do. You read out loud, basically, in that briefing. But you also have to do it in a way where you're not showing much nervousness, if you know what I mean. So Mr. Biden is a pretty good, excellent, in other words, teleprompter reader. However, when he was trained at Camp David by, I don't know, whomever, they did him a great disservice. They should have known better. He didn't need to be prepped up on the debate, you know, have that training for the debate. That, for an elderly person, was too much overload, you know what I mean. So he was tired from that. I don't know if he had a cold. They said he had a cold. When his voice was raspy, well, they didn't say that until after. They could have told us before. And think back to the debate, the first debate they had, Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump in 2020. That was just before Mr. Trump was diagnosed with COVID. So he was under the influence of COVID at that time. That's why he didn't have a good debate, in my opinion. So maybe this time Mr. Biden also didn't have a good debate because he was feeling sick. But more than that, he was, you know what you saw, and that is unfortunate, because I'm concerned about, and I'm concerned about his health. Here's a man that came out of retirement. He was vice president of the United States for 8 years, and he saw Mr. Trump's first presidency. There was no one else that could have beaten him, and they knew it. So they coaxed him out of retirement. And I don't know if they paid him any money. I think they might have. Those things are secret. You know, they're not told. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did pay him money and ask him to come and, you know, win for the Democrats, because there's big, 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 big money involved with the competition between the Democrats and Republicans. You know that, right? So my recommendation is for Mr. Biden to retire. Why do I say that? Because he is 81 years old. Can you imagine 4 years from now, if he was president, having the most difficult job in the whole world, being the leader of the free world, with all the daily requirements, how that might affect his health. The Democrats are actually driving him into his grave by doing that. He should be relaxing in his retirement. 81, do you want to still be working when you're 81, my friends out there, Democrats and Republicans alike? I don't think so. Sitting on a beach somewhere, drinking your favorite beverage, taking tours of cities around Europe, traveling the world, maybe on a cruise ship. Just relaxing, not having to worry about the stress associated with the most difficult job in the world. I don't want to see Mr. Biden die on the job, in other words. Because I would put the blame directly on the people that are pushing him to continue, because I really think that he doesn't want to. But since there's nobody else to replace him that could defeat Mr. Trump, they find themselves in a very difficult situation. You know, that's understandable. But Mr. Biden's life, I think, is more important than Democrats winning the election. Don't you think so? What I saw in the debate on Thursday was a man that's borderline possibly having a stroke or dying. If you think otherwise, I disagree. I think you're fooling yourself. I don't like calling anyone a fool, but I've heard a lot of talk on the TV from Democrats, and their rationale is flawed. Now, sometimes I'm wrong, too. My rationale is flawed, but I can recognize when other people's rationale is flawed, and I don't even want to listen to it. I change the channel. But I understand. They want to win. It's all about winning. That's my 2 cents worth, or more than that, if you value it more than that. It's just an expression, 2 cents worth, but that is my esteemed opinion. How about that? I like that better. Mr. Trump, on the other hand, I think did a good job. He, too, is getting old. How will he be when he's 81? Taking a drink. I thought he did very well. I understand that sometimes he doesn't like answering questions directly. He kind of takes offense at some of the questions. You know, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, they did a great job. All these questions have been done beforehand, prearranged. And one has to keep in one's mind, the back of one's mind, that they belong to a television station that's predominantly Democrat. And so there might be some ulterior kind of motive behind their reasoning, behind the facade of their appearance, so to speak. But Mr. Trump, I thought, did very well, better than that debate back in 2020. And it could have been perhaps a little bit better. I think he lost his temper a few times, so did Mr. Biden. At least they didn't call Mr. Biden a name. They called him the worst president ever, but what's this here? Makes it look easy in 200-meter final. Kenny Benarek, did he win the 200-meter final? He beat Noah Lyles. Wow, that would have been something to watch. I'm going to look at that later. I've been watching the Olympic trials, changing the subject to the Olympic trials. I've been watching that. Back to the debate. So I thought Mr. Trump, because I had this little thing that popped up on my phone. And so that kind of shocks me, Noah Lyles. I'm sorry, I didn't stay on the track there. But I'll check it out later. Back to the debate. And they say there's going to be another one in September. Please, my fellow Democrats out there, because I think I've voted Democrat before, but don't do that to Mr. Biden. You know that it's a precarious situation. His health is more important. And his wife, I saw her on television saying he did a great job. Now, I'm used to evaluating speakers at Toastmaster meetings. And you don't say somebody did a great job if they didn't do a great job. You know what I'm saying? Let me repeat that. You don't say someone did a great job if they didn't do a great job. You think of other things to say, like, you were very brave and courageous to get up there and speak, you know, which he was in front of all those millions of people. And, oh, well, I'm so sorry that, you know, you might not have been feeling well, but you hung in there till the end, you know, you did 90 minutes. Anyway, that is what I think. I'll switch the subject now from the debate to the Olympic trials. I've been watching them because I'm interested in my own exercise. And I love to sprint. That's what I do. They say that it is the most beneficial exercise for the body. And I will go to the track after my radio show and sprint a little bit more. I sprinted last night on the street out in front of the house, and I'm kind of suffering for it today because I'm used to doing it on the track. And as far as impact goes, as you probably know, the impact on the pavement is a lot harder than the track. And so I just didn't feel like driving to the track, which is about 9 miles away, last night. But I think I'll keep this in my mind that if I want to do some sprinting, if I want to work out, I'm going to use the rubber track because the impact is less. And that's what it comes down to in the long run. Especially when you get older, you can feel the aches and pains a little bit more. The track, and I don't go around in circles, I just use it straight away. I'll run either 50 meters or maybe 90 meters, you know, so I can maybe take 10 meters to slow down and then turn around, go back, do it again, do that about 5 times. Sometimes I'll run backwards. I'm a very good backwards sprinter. And it exercises the heart. And I was listening to my heart last night as I was getting up to go to the bathroom, and it was skipping a beat or two. I think that's because of the, and I'm very, as I think everyone is, very cognitive, very aware of what the heart sounds like sometimes, you know. And little warning signs are when it skips a beat or if you have an irregular heartbeat. My dad had an irregular heartbeat, but mostly my heart's strong and I hear it and it sounds good. Thank God for that. But running on the pavement might not be a good idea as far as stressing the heart is concerned. Now, I might be wrong. That's just my take on it, my opinion. And, you know, I really would like to see that video of the 200-meter final. That's what I've been kind of, it's been in my mind ever since that little thing popped up on my cell phone here. But I will wait until after my show's over and then watch it right away before I go to the track, because I'm a big Noah Lyles fan. Anybody else a Noah Lyles fan? And if Kenny Benaric beat him in the final, then that is pretty significant, because Noah is actually the record holder for the 200-meter run among active runners. Not as good as Usain Bolt did back in 2009 when he ran 19:19. Pretty amazing. But I think Noah Lyles' best 200-meter time was 19:31. So it was probably pretty close. But changing the subject, I don't want to go back to the debate, but I would like to talk about what is the main difference between Democrats and Republicans. We are still Americans, right? Living here in the United States of America. And at times when we've had to pull together, we can do that and we can forget our petty differences. We can forget about the competition, the backstabbing, the throat cutting that goes on, you know, between the politicians. But the main difference, in my opinion, and I've talked about this before, is abortion. I'll understand that women have to make some difficult decisions in their lives at times. And indeed, the baby does grow in their bodies for 9 months. And they have to go through that day after day. However, they can't get pregnant without the man's seed. So the men have a very important part in that whole process. Agreed? Not as much as the women, but still a part. Agreed? And if we only could prove scientifically that our soul is eternal, and there in the pre-existence, also like in the afterlife, where we're heading to when we pass away one day, hopefully far into the future, because every day is a learning opportunity on Earth, and there's no greater thing than learning, really. There should be nothing greater than learning. I'm talking about sex or eating the best food or any kind of entertainment you can think of. Learning takes priority, should take priority over everything else, because we're putting it into our minds and we're growing. Our heads are getting bigger with the great knowledge that we are achieving, that we are putting into our minds, growing. Growth, it's all about growth. The whole universe is about growth. The creator of the universe is about growth. That's why we exist, because we are contributing to the growth of not only the universe, but the supreme creator of the universe, who is like an electrical being, who is omnipotent and omniscient. And if you saw the creator of the universe, he would look like an aurora borealis, but different colors, like the colors of the rainbow. And you could have a communication with him, her, because the creative universe is both male and female. It's time you realize that. It's time you, if you didn't already, begin to realize that we live in a male and female universe. I'm tired of hearing only about Father God and no mother. That I don't mean to be unkind, but it's the same thing with war. Why do we have war? Because people can't resolve their differences diplomatically, peacefully. They lack the intellect to do so. Some people lack the intellect to understand there has to be a mother God, because you can't create children. If you believe that we are the children of some being outside of the physical universe, that same principle applies. You need a mother and a father still to create spirit children with souls, a little light, the light of their souls, the lamp of their souls. Your soul shines with the light. You will see. Your soul will light up your whole spirit from the top of your head down to your toes. Your soul has a light. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to increase the light of our souls, the light, the lamp of our souls. And a mother God is a logical assertion. It's a logical thing to believe in, because Father God, if you believe in a Father God, Father God is a male. And a male, usually, and now there are some exceptions, like the with gay people, their spirit is of the opposite sex. A male spirit will come into a female spirit body, I mean, a male spirit in a female body, or a female spirit into a male body. And that's part of the plan to help bring more love and understanding and patience to planet Earth, so that we can transcend this war and killing cycle and strive towards a more peaceful planet where we don't kill each other for invalid reasons, and because we don't have the intellect to resolve our differences peacefully. Father God wants a woman by his side. Father God needs a woman by his side. Don't you, if you're a male, want a companion, whether you're male or female, and even if you are gay, you still want a companion. Now, it's understood that maybe you want someone also who has a body with the opposite spirit sex, the opposite sex of the spirit in their bodies. And I've seen that before. I can recognize them usually very clearly, not sometimes, not all the time. Anyway, so Father God wants a woman by his side. You wait and see. When you get to the throne room in heaven, the throne room in heaven, I've already told you where heaven is, because we human beings are indigenous to this solar system. And what is the matrix of the solar system? It's a world on fire out there. You don't think about it. It's a round world on fire. You could put at least 1,000 planet Earths within the circumference of the sun. It's a huge, huge, huge heavenly body, 93 million miles away. It takes sunlight 8 minutes to get here, traveling at the speed of light. But you have to understand, the spirit is made of light energy, billions of electrons. You'll see, like I said, the lamp of your soul shines with a light. And the more developed you are spiritually, the more your light will shine. Because when you get to the spirit realm, into the afterlife, you will see that all the spirits around you shine with different intensities of light. And when you get to the throne room and stand in front of the Mother and Father God and Jesus who died on the cross and the disciples and the patriarchs and other great people that have lived throughout the centuries, in different cultures, there is no religion in heaven. If you think there is, you're wrong. But you're entitled to your opinion, as am I. They all shine with a different light. When you get to the throne room, the light of the Mother and Father God is so bright, that it will wash over you with a glory and brilliance that, comparing it to something, it would be like going outside from your house in a hurricane and being whipped around by 70, 80, 90 mile an hour winds. Can you imagine that? It's the same with that light. Unless you are sufficiently developed to withstand its brilliance and glory, you will have to fall down, prostrate yourself on the ground, barely able to look up, maybe just strain your neck to look up, and maybe you might see the arm of the spirit father or the hand or the spirit mother. The thrones are right next to each other. Now, I can't prove this, but I am willing to bet everything that I own, even though that won't happen, but I would stake all my knowledge on what I think is the truth, that there has to be a mother God, because you have to have a male and female to make a child. You believe that we are children of God? We are the children of the sun. Remember that song by Billy Thorpe? Children of the sun. That's what we are. We are their children. We come from the sun, because like I mentioned, we're indigenous to this solar system, human beings. There are other beings in other solar systems, and you see the suns out there in the evening sky, and the planets that they live on, they're indigenous to the atmosphere there and all the other conditions. They might have blue skin, different shaped heads and eyes, hair, some with hair, some without hair. Maybe their hair might look like feathers. It could be wide, it could be tall. But there are a lot of very advanced civilizations in the universe, because when the universe was created billions of years ago, and it's about 15 billion light years to the center of the universe, and then the universe, after the Big Bang, began forming itself one solar system at a time until you have so many of them, and then there's a limit to the number of solar systems you can have in the galaxy. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot. And then a new galaxy. Or maybe it just keeps on growing. I don't know. That's a good question. But new galaxies pop up. I don't know how they do that. probably just by thinking it. So new galaxies began to form, one solar system at a time. And some suns eventually go supernova. But civilizations that have been living on planets throughout the universe have probably been traveling around the universe for hundreds of millions of years. Take the Milky Way galaxy. It is probably, compared to the others, a relatively new or young galaxy. And so our planet is in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. In the big picture, we haven't been in existence very long compared to some other galaxies and solar systems and planets out there. Now, as I mentioned before, and I always like to say it, I'm going to take a drink of water. For those of you that pride yourself on your intelligence and your logic, I think every human being does. All this life on Earth, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the ocean, seas, rivers, and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, I love saying this, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals. If all that life happened by accident, logically, it can happen by accident in the first galaxy that was created, in the first solar system, or one, maybe 2 billion. I said the universe is 15 billion years in diameter. It's 15 billion light years. Excuse me. The universe is about 15 billion years old. It's 15 billion light years to the center of the universe. How about maybe 12 billion light years from our solar system and our Milky Way galaxy even? There might exist a planet that was created by the Spirit Father, the great creator of the universe, Mother and Father, excuse me. There might be some ETs listening. I always welcome any ETs out there that are listening to me, because why not? I don't think you'll find too many people like me who talk about these kinds of subjects that have this kind of knowledge, which I really gathered from other people. Everything that I know, I learned from other people, but I did have to connect some dots, you know, in my reality system, put some pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together to get to where I am today and have this reality system that I have, currently have. So does that make sense to you, that there is probably life all the way throughout the universe, from my Milky Way galaxy to one galaxy to another galaxy to another galaxy, millions of light years, billions of light years? And, you know, galaxies have how many solar systems? How many stars are in the evening sky in the Milky Way galaxy? I think they over-exaggerate the number. A better approximate amount would be in the Milky Way galaxy, more like maybe a couple million, few million. But even still, that's a tremendous amount. You know, there's no need to get debate about that. Suffice it to say that there are quite a lot in the Milky Way galaxy, but other galaxies also have millions of stars, you know? No sense to boggle the mind to impress people how much you know, which really is unjustifiable, since we don't have sufficient means to validate that there are the same amount of stars that some people claim that there are out there. You know what I'm saying? You can believe our scientists and astronomers. They want you to believe them, because believing in people is kind of a form of love, and everyone wants to be loved, you know, and praise. Praise is another form of love. Everyone wants to know that they're doing a good job, whether they're very intelligent or they're a superstar. Everyone likes that. Love makes the universe go around, and praise is a very, very important part of love. But we don't need E.T. to come get out of a spacecraft and walk over to you and probably hypnotize us by their presence. Because imagine meeting a being, looking into the eyes of an extraterrestrial being who has the knowledge to travel throughout the universe and travel interdimensionally and has knowledge of all these other civilizations out there, who knows where they came from and how many past lives they've had because they've been born on planets where they don't cross the river of oblivion and the memories of past lives aren't erased out. So you're looking into the eyes of a being and knows where they came from. They might have had 30, 40, 80 past lives. And even though they understand and they are compassionate and empathetic towards us human beings here, still, the majority of us, I think, don't believe there's life out there. Am I right? Deep down in our core, in our souls, we know that there is life out there. We know. When you wake up in the morning at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom, you get back into bed and you think, there has to be life out there. Because the Creator, you got to know the Creator better. Some people, you know, they pray to God, the Father God. It's always Father God this, Father God that. Father God came from a predominantly male church back then when women weren't equal. They had very little rights 2,000 years ago, you know, when the Father God concept came up. And it was all about dominating the masses, you know, not about the truth. And it continues today, even though it's getting better. People are waking up. You get all these new souls that are being born into the world to help make the world a better place and to bring the truth out, to talk about the truth. And that's what we should be seeking. Now, the Bible is a very holy book, and I don't want to say anything negative about the Bible, but it doesn't have all of the details about our existence, where we came from. It's a good stepping stone to where we need to go spiritually. But we need to get past that level of learning and increase our learning to higher levels so that you can increase the lamp of your soul. So when you do graduate from this existence into the afterlife and me too, then you will be able to take your place among those souls that are there that have achieved that higher level of learning instead of being delegated to staying back in the lower levels of heaven because you haven't achieved that level of development and then continue the learning there very slowly. It's a lot slower to learn there in heaven because that's why people incarnate into planets, because the learning is quicker and more efficient. Yes, as I mentioned, the learning continues in heaven, but that's why people incarnate in the planets, and that's why there is reincarnation. So we can learn more productively, if you will, by going through everything that we're experiencing here on Earth, the pain, the suffering, the joy, the emotions, being with other people, learning from other people, loving, experiencing joy. All that is when you're in a body, a physical body, incarnated on a planet. The learning is a lot more intensive. It's more productive, as I mentioned. And it's all about evolving your soul so that you can one day, and as I mentioned and on the website, the Church of the Souls Evolutions website, I think, unless I'm mistaken, or at least it has said this before, I can't remember if it's there now, is that we are co-creator gods in the making. If you have a brain, if you have a heart, which is finite, it's physical, it's not eternal, then you are a co-creator god in the making. If you have the potential to die, and everyone, I don't mean to be morbid, but we have the potential to die 1 second from now, years into the future, hopefully many more years into the future. Anybody disagree about that? Whether a car accident, airplane accident, being struck by lightning, drowning, being shot, you have the potential, I have the potential to die 1 second from now, or maybe 20, 30, 60 years into the future. Me, I'll be 70 in August. I have a lot more years behind me than I do in front of me, and my wife too. But I'm brave. Don't you think I'm brave and courageous to talk about these kinds of things? How about you? Why don't you get your own show on BBS Radio and talk about spirituality? Help to grow your own soul and spirit. Increase the lamp of your soul. Have a radio show. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's really great practice, public speaking. And you can have guests on your show, too, if you want to. I've had a few guests. Anybody, I get a lot of guest submissions from BBS Radio, but to tell you the truth, I really love talking by myself. I love the ability I have. I'm proud of the ability I have to be able to talk for 55 minutes nonstop, maybe taking a few seconds break to drink some water like right now. Changing the subject back to abortion, the main difference between Republicans and Democrats. How many have seen the movie Heaven is for Real? Now, I've said this before. I might have some regular fans who love to hear me speak and love the information that I'm sharing with them, which I've learned from other people. Heaven is for Real is about this boy who was 3 years old and had a near-death experience. Now, near-death experiences aren't anything new. People have been having them throughout the centuries. Even Plato had a near-death experience. Lots of people, my ex-wife and my current wife, have had near-death experiences. It's a pretty common thing. If you look in YouTube, there's tons of videos about people that have had some very profound, really profound near-death experiences. And in Heaven is for Real, this little boy, that made it all the more believable, right? A three-year-old having a near-death experience. He said he went to heaven. He met Jesus. Saw the horse that Jesus rides in heaven. Yeah, you better believe it. There's animals there in heaven. And also, he met his grandfather, his father's father. And when he told his father that, the father went and got a picture of the grandfather and came back and said, is this him? No. No, that's not him. He went, he said he looked, he was younger. He went and got a picture of when he was young, came back and showed it to him. And he said, is this him? Yeah, that's Pops. That's him. He said, because the boy said, because he was told this, I guess, that when we get to heaven, we revert back to like an age 30 mold. So if you're 70, 80, 90 years old, you're going to, when you get to the spirit world, you're going to revert back to what is considered the ideal mode, which is about an age 30 mold. You're not too old, not too young. That's what people prefer, although apparently the spirit is configuring, can change shape and size, it can change characteristics. That's pretty cool, the spirit, just by thinking it. Anyway, so if that doesn't convince you that what the boy saw was real and that you now should be a believer, then also he was with his mother and his sister one day in the living room. He said to his mother, hey, Mom, I didn't know I had another sister. And she said, well, yeah, you have a sister. I forget her name. You had a sister. And he said, no, I mean, I have another sister. And she said, what are you talking about? And he said, when I was in heaven, this little girl came up to me and was giving me hugs, continually giving me hugs. And she said that she died in your tummy. And the mother was just blown away because she didn't tell him at all that she had a miscarriage. There's no way he would have known. She didn't tell him. which was the truth. She had had a miscarriage, and the baby died. So that was like an epiphany, you know, a revelation where the boy wasn't lying. That is evidence we cannot ignore, my friends. That is irrefutable evidence. Still, the skeptics and the disbelievers will try to explain it away, but you can't. The truth is that we continue to exist in the spirit form when we pass away from this life. And whether it's by miscarriage or abortion, if a baby is taken out of the mother's womb, more than likely, the baby's soul and spirit, just like with us, we entered our mother's womb anytime between after the heart started beating until when we exited the mother's womb and were born. The spirit, usually from my research, my knowledge, usually comes in somewhere in between, like maybe 4 or 5 months, because it is a very difficult environment inside the mother's womb, you know, and we're not breathing air either. And we have to experience everything that she experiences. And the food that she ingests in her body is directly funneled to our bodies and assists in the growth of the baby's body. Do you know what I mean? And all of this, my friends, is planned. It's all pre-planned, and you better believe it. You better believe it that we planned this in the pre-existence, because we are soul friends, a lot of us. And we are categorized on our level of evolution, how many past lives we've had. And when we are preparing for a life on a new planet, preparing to incarnate in the physical body that we will be having, everything is planned down to the last T in regard to who our parents are going to be, who our friends are going to be, people we're going to meet throughout our lifetime, any accidents we'll have. It's all pre-planned. It's a mission. And we do have a primary mission and maybe an alternate minor mission, kind of like a degree in college. You have a major and a minor. That's what we are given by either the mother or the father God, co-creator gods of our solar system, not the supreme creator who created the whole shebang many billions of years ago, who exists and is out there, is everywhere, knows everything that's going on. Isn't that amazing to think that the creator of the universe knows everything? Omniscient. I know everything, he, she would say. My point is, with abortion, even though I sympathize with the mother and understand she has to live with that decision for her entire life afterwards, the soul that entered the body, assuming that it was sometime between after the heart started beating, before exiting the womb, the soul goes back to heaven, obviously disappointed at not having the opportunity to be here and living a life like you and I are. I'm going to take a drink. And the angels in heaven know that too. They understand, though. It's sad. And I understand there are cases when, you know, a woman wouldn't want to have an abortion because of rape or incest, or maybe it's hurting their bodies. There's some medical complication there. But that's a very small minority of the abortions, like 1% each. So those other times, what about the soul and the spirit that was in the body, that had planned, that was part of the plan they were going to do, that had been worked out with you and them beforehand? You just threw a monkey wrench into that plan. Even though things can be worked out afterwards, still, you ruin someone's mission, you know, they have to start over again. And obviously, I've got 1 minute, my friends, so I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you for listening. I hope you have an enjoyable July the 4th. Be safe. May God creator of the universe, bless us all and keep us safe and well. Thank you. I love you. Take care. Bye-bye.